I don't really know where to tell you to turn to this morning. I'll tell you in a minute. It may be a little while before I actually read to you. I'm going to quote some scripture, but this morning I want to continue kind of thinking about the church, church membership, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. 2 weeks ago I spoke to you about what exactly is it we join when we join the church. What is the church? How is it described in the Bible? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It is a foretaste of heaven. The local assembly of baptized believers. By the way, we're baptizing Brother Jason, not in order that he would be saved, but because he is already saved. We baptize believers. That is what the Bible describes, believers' baptism. One who commits him or herself to follow Christ and join up with the local assembly here at Point Remove or wherever. And last week, I tried to speak to you about some privileges and responsibilities involved in a church membership, and I would kind of like to expand on that a little bit today if the Lord would bless. And this week I've been thinking about this, and what I want to, my theme today is how to be a good church member. Or if you're sitting out there and you think I am already a good church member, how to be a better one. Would you not be willing to admit that there's always room for improvement? Now, I learned a long time ago, when your wife makes you a really good dessert, you might want to think before you say, boy, there's room for improvement. Any of y'all ever gotten in trouble for anything like that? I have. So, you know, when your wife makes you a really good dessert, if you want to say there's room for improvement, wait a day or two or three. But let us face it, that all of us, even those of us who've been church members for many years, there's room for improvement. We can be better church members. In fact, I think I would be willing to say that if we think in our hearts that we're as good a church member as we can be, we're already dead in the water. That's not right. So how to be a good church member, or how to be a better church member if you're already a good one. And you are. You are. And of course, first thing you got to do, I'm going to say again, first thing you got to do is join. Right? I've said this to you both weeks, I think. I say to you again. You can join lots of good groups in the world today. You can join lots of good, there's lots of good civic organizations, groups that do a lot of good in the world, right? I mean, you know. But there is no higher institution you can join than the local church. And isn't it funny how we think that those other groups do more good than the local church? Have you ever noticed how we sometimes think that? We look at those other groups maybe and say, boy, they do a lot of good. And we think that they may even eclipse the local church. Put that thought out of your mind. They're doing good and I'm happy. But there is no higher institution that you can join than the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which, by the way, came to us from heaven. And the headquarters are in heaven. And we get our directions from heaven. Isn't that great? Okay. So I wrote down this week 6 different things that I would like to say to you about being a good church member. Today I'm only going to mention 2 of them. There's not time to do 6. I'm just going to mention 2. And number one, you want to be a good church member or a better one? Number one, maintain an humble, teachable spirit. Maintain it. Keep an humble, teachable spirit in your own heart and mind about church, about coming to church, about the Word of God, and realize there's always room for improvement. Church is where God's children learn to be Christian. Hear me? Church is where God's children come to learn to be Christian. Or to say it in another way, church is where the sons of God come to learn to be disciples of Christ. That's what church is all about. All right, so we're coming here to learn to be disciples of Christ, to learn to be better disciples of Christ. And again, there's room for improvement in each and every one of us, isn't there? There's room for improvement. And we're coming here to learn more about God and more about Christ. And I cannot describe how important it is to keep an open mind. Amen? To keep an open mind, a ready mind, an humble mind, and a willing heart to come to God's house and learn. And there are so many reasons why that is true. Listen, God's Word and the theology of God's Word and what the Bible teaches covers everything that you'll ever need to know, and really everything, probably everything you can know. Now, I know there's lots of things out here that people think you can know, but when you know them, you know wrong. Amen? This craziness about murdering babies after they're born and having standing ovations in the Senate when that happens, that is... What? People that have been discipled well, people that have been taught well, just the fundamental stuff from God's Word know better than that. Amen? I mean, how important is it that we keep an open mind? I promise you there are people up there that if they were here this morning would not have their minds open to what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? When we come to God's house, the worst thing we can do is close our minds for whatever the reason. You know, get cocky, get, you know, too big for our britches. And it can happen. Any of us. Oh, boy. Pastors don't always have the most fun experiences. Did you know that? I'm not trying to complain. Pastors are sometimes maligned and mistreated. Did you know that? And I promise you, I have had people who were members of the church I tried to pastor whose minds were as shut as a steel trap. Don't say amen, but in your mind, you know I'm right. People, it's very possible for people who've been in church a while to think they've got it all figured out. And that anything that is beyond what they already know cannot be right. Amen. And there's no way that whippersnapper up there in that pulpit can possibly be right. My mama said something different than what he's saying. I don't care if he is reading from God's Word. Of course, you can't imagine people have that attitude. That is not the way to come to church. That is not the humble spirit, the mindset with which we ought to come to church. We ought to come to church with an open mind, an humble spirit, what the Bible calls a contrite heart. I'm just going to read you some verses here in a minute, and I'm going to tell you where they are. Well, I might tell you where they are, but don't turn to them. Because I'm in a hurry. Because I got to shorten my sermon this morning. Hallelujah! I keep telling y'all, you want short sermons, keep joining this church. Just come on down this aisle, join this church. Isn't that great? What a blessing to have to shorten my sermon. To have a contrite heart, a willing mind. The Bible talks about he that is of a willing mind. Someone ready to learn. How many of you really think you got it all figured out? Come on, now be real. The Bible describes everything. The Bible describes the truth about science. The Bible describes the truth about creation, the truth about the universe, the truth about angels, sin, guilt, things that science cannot quantify. The Bible describes all these things. It describes everything. It's the most complicated, deep textbook you'll ever read or ever be taught about. And how dare we think we got it all figured out? God help us to keep an open, humble, contrite, teachable spirit as we come to God's house. Another reason why you need to keep that God's word. Becky's sneezing. I must be preaching really well. Now, can you believe I said that? Merciful heaven. Well, y'all look. Another reason why you need to keep an open, contrite, humble spirit about the teaching from God's word is so often it runs exactly contrary to our carnal way of thinking. Our automatic, natural, default mindset is to think of number one. And the scripture's constantly teaching us that we'll be happier if we think of others before ourselves. Amen. So the truth of God's word, what you hear at church, is going to run counter to your own carnal nature, and it's going to run counter to 99.999% of the doop that you hear in the world. You can fill in the blank with the expletive of your choice. I can't believe I just said that. Say amen, church. I mean to tell you, what you hear in God's word is going to run counter to all the stuff you hear out here. So when you come to church, you need to have an humble spirit to bow before the will of God and the throne of God and the word of God and submit yourself to what you hear from the word of God, because it's from the word of God. You see, another thing you got to realize, when you hear the preaching of the gospel, you must look beyond the mouth through which it comes. Oh, you must. Because the person through which the sermon comes may offend you. He may be too loud or too quiet. He may wave his arms too much. Or, Brother David made fun of me for rubbing my head. I rubbed my head. You got all these idiosyncrasies, and if you worry about those, you'll miss out on the message. Y'all hear me? I mean, it's a miracle that we learn from God the way we are. So you need to keep an humble, teachable spirit when you come to God's house, because what you hear is gonna hurt at times. Y'all look, the gospel is designed to hurt you. It is designed to make the person that's comfortable miserable. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need to be comfortable with our evil, wicked ways. We need to be made uncomfortable so we'll do better. That's what the gospel's for. Or another, it's to tan your hide. The gospel is to tan your hide. Do you need to come to church with a spirit that's willing to learn? All right, listen to this here. The Bible calls this a contrite spirit. The word contrite means crushed beneath the burden of one's own guilt. The best way. See, if we come to church, we think we're really good. We got it all figured out. God, look at me. Man, you're cruising for a bruising. The proper attitude to come before God is like the sinner that smote on his breast and would not even lift his voice to God and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to this here. If you want, don't turn to them, but you can write these down if you're taking notes. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What kind of mindset should you have when you come to church? If you want to get the most out of church, what should your mindset be? A broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise that attitude. You come to church with that attitude, you're going to get something out of it. I did not say that you should come to church to get something out of it. You should come to church to worship God and serve Christ, whether you get anything out of it or not. Say amen. It's not about us. Look, church is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. Isaiah 66:2. Don't turn to it. But to this man will I look. God's talking. But to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor, that does not mean in money. It means poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. How important is when you come to church to keep a humble, teachable spirit? That's exactly the person that the Lord is going to teach in God's house. That's the very one that's going to get the most. Okay, so you contrast that individual that comes to church with a broken, contrite heart and is trembling at the Word of God. Contrast that person with the person I was describing a minute ago that's sitting in the pew like this. Teach me something if you think you can. You ever seen that kind of thing? Brother Harold, you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah.
Yep. Which one of those, the person with a broken, contrite spirit that trembleth at God's word, or the person over here that is just daring the preacher to teach him anything, which one of those is going to be the one that God's going to look to? Y'all understand? Isaiah 57 and 15, don't turn to it. Isaiah 57 and 15. I dwell, God talking, I dwell in the high and holy place. Our Father which art in heaven. Isn't that great? And from heaven God sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By the way, your believing in him is not what you didn't just up and believe in God. You believed in God because he gave you the capacity to do that. I mean, that is just... People that are dead in sins do not believe in God. Sorry! I mean, the fool said in his heart there is no God. And Romans is pretty clear that the unregenerate have no fear of God before their eyes. I lovingly submit, if an unregenerate person understands there is a God, knows there is a God, believes in God, he has some fear of God before his eyes. That's the end of that. If you believe in God today, it's because God has given you that capacity. Because you're his. What do you need to do as a result? Learn more about him. Serve him better. Shouldn't we want to serve God better? Oh, well, I know you do. There's something inside you right now that wants to serve God better. There's a positive part of you that says, boy, that's going to require a lot of work. Say amen. I want to serve God better, but it means I've got to work harder, and I've got to deny myself more. It's like losing weight. Come on, that's, losing weight is a really good parallel. I do really good. I'll do really good till Friday night. Babu brings out the coconut cream pie, and I take pictures of it and tease my friends with it and rub it in their faces that I get some and they don't, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Because I'm going to have some of that. I can. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I need to deny myself that, and I know I need to. But I don't. Is that ringing your bell? Aren't you glad salvation's by grace? Aren't you glad it's not dependent on how well we serve God right here and now we're all going to burn in hell? Okay. I dwell in the high and holy place. Isaiah 57, 15. Don't turn to it. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, God saying, I also dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know what that's saying? If you come to the house of God with the right attitude, with an humble, teachable, fervent, contrite heart, God will revive you. It's like blessed are the poor in spirit, for they're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are they that mourn their sins because they're going to get the kingdom of heaven. I'm having trouble quoting that. But you get the idea. In other words, the way up is down. The way up is down. And by the way down is up. In other words, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. And God knows how to abase us. Merciful heavens. Now, you should come to church with an humble attitude, ready, teachable spirit. Teachable. You know, I remember I've had students that thought they knew more than I did. Absolutely convinced they knew more than I did. I mean about grammar. Want to argue with me? Any teachers out there ever had that experience? I only say that, not that you'd feel pity for me. I only say that that individual that feels that way, not going to learn a whole lot. Amen. They're not going to listen to the teacher. Their minds are not open. And you know, I'll tell you something. So, okay, now, on this learning. Now, when it comes to learning about God, there's two broad areas where we need to learn. You need to learn the doctrines of Christ. Or, to put it another way, you need to learn exactly how it was that God saved you from your sins. You need to learn how that happened. You need to constantly be reminded in different ways about how God saved you, about the covenant of grace. This is covenant theology we're talking about. That God made a covenant. And in that covenant, God put His people in Christ before He created the universe. You were in Christ before you were in Adam. That's how great a God you got. And you need to know how God saved you, and you need to know how many people God saved. Now, I don't mean the number. Nobody can know the number of how many people God saved. But you need to know that God saved people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, and family under heaven, and that includes places where there are no churches. You should have said amen. That includes places where there are no Bibles. That includes places that existed before the flood. That includes places that existed before Christ came. And God saved them all the same way. You need to know God only has one way of saving people. He doesn't have 14 backup plans. Because His initial plan was absolutely perfect. God doesn't need a backup plan. Say amen. His first plan was perfect. His first plan was going to get everybody He wanted saved, saved. He doesn't need a backup plan. He doesn't need a safety net. Isn't that great? So you need to know that. And you need to know that you are a child of God. You need to know you are. Not because of what you've done, but because of what God has put in you. Can I tell you how one more time? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, you are a child of God. And you're not a child of God because you believe that. You believe that because you're a child of God. Everybody understand? I believe I am Dick Harvey's son. I do believe that. I've got reason to believe it. We're both so charming. Oh, merciful heavens. Brenda's just alive. Well, I do have... come on in, Jody. Come on in, buddy. Characteristics. Thank you, Babu. My mind went blank. Characteristics that are like my dad. I have reason to believe that I'm a dad's son. But you know what? My believing that is not what made me Dick Harvey's son. The parallel is absolutely perfect. Okay. Well, we need to learn that about how God saved us, but also, y'all, we need to learn how we're supposed to behave ourselves as a result of the fact that God saved us. And you need to keep this doctrine in mind, lest you do your works for the wrong motive. See, if we're doing our works for the wrong motive, they're really not acceptable to God. We don't do our works to go to heaven. We don't do our works in order that God would bless us. We do our works out of love for God because of what He's already done for us. So you've got to keep this doctrine in mind the whole time you're serving God and coming to church to learn about God. Are you with me? You got to know it all. Number one, to be a good church member, or if you are a good one, to be a better church member, keep, maintain an humble, teachable spirit about you. Otherwise, you won't learn a thing. That's pretty hard. That's pretty hard. I remember one time, when Brother Harold was still pastor here, we had a couple come, and this gentleman had a trouble believing in eternal security. And I never will forget, Brother Harold and I had him back here in the office, or one of these offices, and we were just trying to read to him from God's Word about the text about eternal security, and reading it from God's Word. But his mind was shut. His mind was closed. He did not have an humble, teachable spirit. He would not accept the Word of God, even if it was the Word of God. It didn't matter to him. He said, but I believe. He's right here in the Word of God. Okay, that's fine, but I believe. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just saying the man's mind was closed. How hard is it? You know, I'll tell you something else. You cannot convince people of anything. No amount of factual information will convince a person whose mind is already made up about anything. You know I'm right. See, this what's happening in New York up there and Virginia and Vermont or wherever, it makes me so mad and bothers me so much. I want to get Tucker Coliseum full of all the liberals in the world and educate them. But you know what? It wouldn't do a bit of good. They would not hear a word I would say. No amount of facts would convince them if their minds are already shut. Amen? Okay, all right, now I got to get off of that. Becky says, mm-hmm. Well, I'm just trying to teach you how important it is to keep an humble, teachable spirit when you come to God's house. You're going to be told things about yourself you won't like. Aren't you? You're going to be told things about yourself you won't like. Anybody that reads the Bible long is going to hear and be told something about him or herself that they don't like. Well, what are you going to do? Say, well, I don't have to take that. I've actually had people tell me, I don't want to come to church ever. I get my boss is telling me what to do every day, and I don't want to have to come to church and be told what to do anymore. I've had people tell me that. Well, that person's mind shut. Okay, all right. That's number one. Number two, the second thing that I wanted to share with you, I got 13 minutes. I'm going to quit at quarter till, God willing. But God is willing. I'm going to quit, aren't I? Oh, Jason, bless your heart. I'm all happy about it. Do not misunderstand me. Second thing you need to do, if you want to be a good church member, or if you're a good church member and you want to be a better church member, is consistent, regular attendance. Consistent regular attendance. I couldn't teach students when they were absent all the time. Did y'all hear what I just said? And they would miss out on information. They would miss out on information that would hinder them in their progress later down the road if they missed out on this information, it would hinder their progress later down the road. Did you know teaching is cumulative that way? God's Word, the teaching of God's Word is cumulative big time. There's a starting point and you build on it. Amen? Super important. Okay. So I tell you what, let's do. Turn to Hebrews 10. I'm going to read a little dab. Taking me all this time to tell you where I'm going to let you turn to. Y'all, I'm not doing very good this morning. My tang is all tangled up. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 10. I don't think the Lord established his church and set aside the first day of the week in the Christian economy. I don't think the Lord established the church and set aside the first day of the week in the Christian economy for us to say, well, it doesn't matter. It's optional. Now, I understand. People were sick. I understand. I know that. I know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I really want you to feel terrible if you think about skipping church. I'm sorry. I want you to feel terrible about it. I don't want you to feel good about that at all. If you think, well, I'm just not going to go today. I just, you know, whatever. I'm just going to skip out. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to skip church, go do this, go do that, go have fun, whatever. I want you to feel terrible about it. That's, I can't believe I'm saying that. But we should not think that is a small thing. If this is where we come to learn about God and learn about Christianity and learn how to be disciples, we ought to be here. And think about it. I think about this a lot too. If you come to church one on Sunday and you hear one sermon, you have 1 hour's worth of Christian education to counteract all the boop that you've heard all week. I can't have bleeping my own preaching. That's, don't y'all tell, of course, this, we're live too. Merciful heavens. Bleeping out my own preaching. That's just an outrage, isn't it? But y'all, 1 hour per week to counteract all the stuff you've heard all week, it's pretty important to be here, isn't it? It's pretty important to be here. Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Draw near. You can't draw near without coming. Say amen. You can't draw near way out yonder. You say, well, I felt the presence of God in the deer stand, and I felt the presence of God in a bass boat, and I have too. But you're not going to feel the presence of God there like you do in the house of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So let us draw near and let us hold fast. Draw near, hold fast. Amen. And let us consider one another. Okay, so draw near, hold fast, and the next thing he says, consider one another. So it sounds like the first thing you learn, you draw near, you hold fast, and the first thing you learn is to forget about yourself and think about others. And there's the true joy in life. I would to God I'd learned that much quicker about being a husband. And I need to do a better job. Okay? So, draw near, hold fast. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What's the next statement? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It has blown my mind this week how in that particular passage, God Almighty connects church attendance with serving others. Or serving others is connected with church attendance. May I be so bold as to say, your presence in church, big time, encourages everybody else in the church. Your presence in church is an encouragement to everyone else. Remember, there's strength in numbers. Your presence in church is an encouragement to the pastor. There's nothing that discourages a pastor worse or as much as people who just don't attend. Your presence encourages others. Your presence in church is pleasing to God. It encourages others and young people. I told you I was going to talk to you. Youth, young people, your presence in church encourages people more than us old geezers. Say amen, old geezers. Come on now. The youth, it's if you're young, I'm going to say collegiate or below. Maybe I should raise that up a little. I don't know. I don't know how young is young. I don't know. But if you're young, if you're a child, if you're in high school, if you're in college, your presence in church probably encourages the church 10 times as much as the preacher being there. Are you listening, young people? If that is true, how selfish is it to miss church? You know, this has struck me this week. Are we thinking of others? Are we forgetting how our presence encourages the church? Our presence encourages the church. Your presence is an encouragement. I'm not bawling you out. It sounds like I'm bawling you out. I don't mean this as a bawling out. I mean this as encouragement to help you see how to be a good church member, or if you're a good one, how to be a better church member. And not only, look, notice what he says. He says in verse 24, so we're supposed to draw near, we're supposed to hold fast, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be provoking one another to love and good works. You know, in other words, help encouraging each other to do right. In other words, I'll see you Sunday. Wonder what that crazy preacher's going to do next week. I can't wait to sing 478 next Sunday. On and on. Did you hear Garrett's prayer last week? Boy, did you hear Garrett pray last week? I'm not trying to embarrass Garrett. Wasn't his prayer wonderful? How much are we encouraging each other all week long like that? I'm telling you right now, this is important. We need to encourage each other all week long about being in God's house. And we do not need to absent ourselves from God's house lightly. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, verse 25, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhort means encourage. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of worship approaching. Sounds like we're supposed to be texting each other, looking out after each other, getting on Facebook, whatever you do. Of course, some of Facebook is some of that. But encourage each other on Facebook, whatever. Now, that has to be done carefully, because you can also nag people and run them off. Don't be nagging people. Merciful heavens. Okay. Well, okay, I quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. I just want you to see how important it is for all of us to be faithful attenders in God's house with the right attitude. Come to God's house with the right attitude and be there every time you can. Do not lightly absent yourself from the house of God. Let's sing two verses of Amazing Grace. I thought we'd do Amazing Grace as a quick invitation, then Jason and I are going to...